The pop Christian music group DC Talk a number of years ago, which I don't imagine a ton of you are DC Talk fans, they wrote a song called Since I Met You. And I want to share some of the words from the song. By the way, yes, kids are dismissed for children's church. I always forget that. They wrote a song called Since I Met You, and I want to share the words to the song because I think the words to the song connect with part of the theme that we're going to be looking at this morning. The part of the song that I want to share with you right now is words which reflect the person who's writing the song, who is experiencing a part in their life where they're just without hope. They're at the end of their rope. So let me just share those words right now. Was at the end of my rope, had nowhere to go. Was at the end of my rope, I had nothing to show. The truth was bottled up inside of me. I was as lonely as a man could be. And my 200 friends couldn't fill the void in my soul. It was a giant hole. Nothing made any sense. I thought there would never be an end. I was thinking about that song. It just kept coming back to me as I was thinking about this morning's message. And I was thinking about in this morning's message in connection with how a lot of times people inside their homes, they experience a sense of hopelessness, a sense of meaningless, a sense of just this giant void that's going on inside their homes. Well, throw into the mix of feeling those emotions, you've got people who are dealing with financial issues inside their homes, maybe marital issues, sin, strife, all sorts of different issues. And I think quickly one's perspective can go from being a person who recognizes God's loving hand and His provision for them to being a person who can become bitter, to being a person who can question God's plan and be frustrated with God's plan. But God's heart and His desire is to remind us of His presence and His plans for our lives. And as He does that, He brings us a picture of hope, a picture of restoration, and a picture of rescue. Now this morning, we're going to look at the story of Ruth and Naomi, a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And we're going to see how God turns their situation, which they thought was quite bleak, He turns it into a situation where He gets to demonstrate His constant care and His loving arms for them. And families can often feel a lot of confusion, that lack of hope, that need for rescue, like we just mentioned. And I want to share with you, I thought this was kind of funny, a modern-day story of this sort of chaos. And I guess for me to share it, I got to read it. I got to get this exactly right. 76-year-old Bill Baker of London recently wed Edna Harvey. She happened to be his granddaughter's husband's mother. And that's where the confusion began, according to his granddaughter, Lynn. Lynn said, "My mother-in-law is now my step-grandmother. My grandfather is now my step-father-in-law. My mom is my sister-in-law, and my brother is my nephew. And even crazier is that I'm now married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins." I thought that was funny, but you think about families. The things that can go wrong inside families, they're not funny. They're not something really to laugh at. And God's desire is to love our families. It's His desire to bring hope to even the darkest of circumstances that we can experience inside the home. Now, I'm not here this morning to tell you that your family can be perfect. We live in a fallen world, a world that is filled with sin, and because of that, our families will not be perfect. But the good news is that in our imperfect families comes a perfect God with perfect love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that this morning as we look at Your Word, as we look at the book of Ruth, that You would open our eyes to see the things that You have for us. I pray that You would meet each of our needs. If there's an area in our life that just needs Your touch, Your hope, that we would see that this morning in Your Word. I pray that You would speak to us. Use Your Word to change us to be the people that You call us to be. Use Your Word to speak words of love and words of hope into our lives. Amen. Benjamin Franklin, he was the U.S. ambassador to France. And while he was in France, he occasionally attended a club called the Infidels Club. It was a club that spent most of its time looking for great works of literary masterpiece. While he was with the club, he also found out that the members of the club were mostly members who were opposed to God's Word. They were people who just had great hatred, great scorn for the Word of God. Well, one of his meetings that he attended, it was his turn to share with the group what he found to be a literary masterpiece. So he came and he shared with them from the book of Ruth. However, when he went with the group, he said, "You know what, I've changed the names of the story and the character. I've changed the setting so that you don't recognize the story." And he shared with them the story. And the group that gathered, they loved the story. They thought that the book that he had just read from was a brilliant, brilliant read. And afterwards, they demanded that he tell them, where did he find such a great read? After reluctantly giving in, reluctantly saying, "Fine, I'll tell you where that book is," he agreed to tell them. And he told them that story came from the Word of God. And to their surprise, they still found it to be a brilliant story. Now, the book of Ruth is a beautiful Old Testament picture that shows us the heart of God. It is a word picture in the Old Testament that mirrors the New Testament's teachings about who Jesus is. Now, the book of Ruth, for background, it occurs around the same time as the period of the Judges. And a couple interesting things about Ruth. Ruth was a foreigner. She's also one of four women mentioned in Matthew's Gospel according to the genealogy of Jesus. Just that picture, this woman who's a foreigner, being a part of the genealogy of Jesus. That picture is a beautiful picture for us to see God's redemption, of Him drawing somebody who is foreign into His plans. Well, let's take a look at the book of Ruth. We're going to go in and out of all four chapters. From Ruth, chapter 1, verse 2, we find Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, married to a man by the name of Elimelech. And in verse 3, we find that Elimelech has passed on. And shortly after he passes on, so do both of his sons. So now Naomi becomes a widow and loses her two sons. The practical thing that meant for her was that her economic security was taken away from her. She would no longer be taken care of. And shortly after that, a famine comes to the land. So for Naomi and her family, times are tough. She's probably thinking, can things get any worse? How desperate she must have felt losing her family. And she's got two daughter-in-laws that are left, and she urges both of them to go back to the families from which they came from. She does that because she knows that if they go back to their families, they will be for sure taken care of. Well, one of her daughter-in-laws, by the name of Orpah, she says to Naomi, okay, I agree, I will go back to the family from which I come from. They part on good terms, but they part. And Naomi is now left with one daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. Ruth, however, when she was told to go back to her family, says, no, I'm not going to go back. The Bible puts it this way. She was determined to go with Naomi. And Ruth's reply to Naomi is recorded in the book of Ruth. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn my back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you with you and me. Then Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, and she stopped urging her. What we learn about Ruth is that Ruth had a resolve to see Naomi through this dark period in her life. I read a story of a college student who went into a photography studio, and he went in with the intent to get a picture that he had of him and his girlfriend duplicated so that both of them could have a copy of the picture. He went into the store and he gave it to the clerk and he said, I need this picture copied. And the clerk said, no problem. The clerk started to take apart the picture from the frame, and as he looked at the back of the frame, he read the inscription that was on the back. The inscription read, my dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity. And it was signed, Helen. It contained a P.S. as well. If we ever break up, I want this picture back. Helen was obviously not completely committed to that relationship. But Ruth was a young woman who understood what total commitment was all about. And God loves that commitment. I think that's why He included Ruth's words in our Bibles, that we would see the commitment that Ruth had. Don't urge me to leave you or turn my back from you. For you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Well, during the same time, we find Naomi bitter. She doesn't even want to be known as Naomi. She says, call me Mara. Mara meant the Almighty has made me bitter. And we find Naomi bitter because she's looking at the events that have occurred to her, and she's looking at herself as one who has received much misfortune and much trouble. Shortly after that, we find Ruth and Naomi hearing that there's food in the land of Judah traveling there. Well, that gets us to chapter 2. Chapter 2, Ruth has a distant relative by the name of Boaz. Ruth goes to work in the fields, picking up the leftover grain that was dropped behind those that were picking up the grain. And it turns out she works really hard in the field. And the field that she actually worked at was in the distant relative of her Boaz. And Boaz hears of who she is, and he becomes impressed with her work ethic. And he says this to her from chapter 2, starting at verse 8. My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the fields where the men are harvesting, and follow along with the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled. Well, Ruth is grateful for this gesture of kindness. And Boaz was impressed with Ruth because of her willingness to stay with her mother-in-law when she could have left her. Well, then Ruth, realizing that she's got nothing to offer Boaz other than who she is, goes forward and continues to work for him. She was the lowest of servant girls, according to the typical master's eyes. But Boaz sees her as one with value. He breaks bread with her, and then he tells his other workers to know that she should be looked at as one who is significant. Well, Ruth goes back to work, and at the end of the day, she goes back to her mother-in-law, and she shares with her mother-in-law how much favor has been extended to her by this Boaz. Then Naomi, who had been bitter over the misfortune that had occurred to her, has a change of heart because she sees the hand of God at work in her life. Verse 20, this is what Naomi says. "The Lord bless him," then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." A quick observation about that bitterness, about how it's fading away. Early on, she spent most of her time focusing on the tragedy that she was in the midst of. But now she's starting to see how God is taking her through that storm. And I think one of the keys for Naomi is her recognizing, as we saw in verse 20, that God was still providing for her. Well, Ruth, she continues to work the fields for Boaz, and that winds up being what they needed for their economic security. That winds up being what they needed for food. Then in Ruth chapter 3, Naomi gives advice to Ruth on how she can show Boaz that she is a suitable woman for him. She gets cleaned up, she puts on perfume, and she shows kindness to Boaz, who receives her gestures and welcomes her. Boaz shows love and kindness towards Ruth, but tells her that if they're going to follow the ways of the land, that there's somebody else that really she should be talking to first. See, the way of the land was this, that if a relative passed away, that land was to be sold to the next available relative that was willing to buy it. Now, Boaz was not that person. There was another that had first dibs to the land. The condition was this also, that if you purchased the land, that the family who remained from the one who had passed away, they went with the land. You were obligated to take care of them as well. And Boaz knows this, and he says, "I will do whatever I can do to purchase the land. If the one in front of me who has first right to the land refuses, I will for sure buy the land." This is what Boaz says in verse 10. He says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, with whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All your fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." Well, Ruth, she goes back to her mother-in-law with some food, and she shares to her again what's happened. And in the meantime, Boaz goes to the one who had the right to first buy the land. That gets us to chapter 4, the last chapter in this book. Boaz goes and he talks with the one in line who had the right to buy the land. And he tells the guy, he says, "You know what, you can buy the land, it's your right to buy it, but please know that there is a widow and her daughter-in-law that will accompany the land." And he makes that presentation to the guy who had the right to buy the land. And that gentleman says, "No, I will not buy the land because I can't allow my family to get any bigger. His clan was already big enough." So then Boaz announces to the elders that he will buy the land. Him purchasing the land, that gave him the title of the kinsman redeemer. And sometime after he buys the land, both Boaz and Ruth are married. And shortly after that, they conceive a son by the name of Obed. Hear how the scriptures describe the change of situation for both Naomi and Ruth. From verse 14 of chapter 4, "The woman said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who to this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better than the 7 sons that has given him birth.'" Chapter 4, I think, closes out with 2 interesting things for us to see. The first is this. Naomi, early on in the story, she was a woman who was bitter, who was frustrated. And now the picture that we see of Naomi at the end of this book is a woman who is excited. She's got a new grandson. She's being taken care of. I think that's a part of how God shows us in this book of how he desires to bring hope and redemption to the family. The second thing that I think is interesting for us to see is also this. We talked a little bit about it already. It's the idea that Naomi becomes the great-great-grandmother to David. Her family line runs all the way through to Jesus. That is a great picture for us to see how God works through this family and brings hope and redemption to them as well. It's been observed that this book shows the hand of God at work, unlike any other book in Scripture. Instead of us directly seeing the hand of God at work, working through the situations like we would in some sort of miraculous story, we see God's hand at work quite quietly. And I think it's a good thing for us to pay attention to that, to pay attention to recognize in our own life how God is working daily, often quite quietly on our behalf. Because I think if we fail to see those things, it might just escape us to realize that God is at work on our behalf in our life. Take this idea of God working quietly. Take it back to chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3 says this: "So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvester. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech." You know, a quick glance over that verse might make you think, you know what, this is great. What a coincidence. What an accident that Ruth and Boaz come together. But do you really think that God operates in some sort of accidental coincidence type of thing? I don't think so. I think this was God's quiet way of bringing these two together. This idea of God working quietly through the situation, I think there's another place where we see that happen in this book as well. It's in the genealogy. Ruth, Boaz, Naomi, they never got to see the picture that God was working through them to bring His Savior into the world. Yet God did just that. Through them, without their knowing, God brought Jesus into the world. This book contains no stories of waters parting or other sorts of miraculous events. It is unlike any other book in the Bible. It is a quiet story, yet it is a very powerful story for us to see how God is at work in people's lives. So again, be encouraged to see and to hear where God might be working in your life. Catching those moments, catching how He is at work in your life, might help you to see that He hasn't abandoned you as well. If the story of Ruth and Naomi ended with the two of them dying in the desert, that would have been a sad story, a tragic story. But the story doesn't end there. It ends with God bringing a rescuer into their midst. So be reminded how the story ends. Be reminded that Ruth is given work, that which she desperately needed for their survival. Be reminded that Boaz offers protection when they just needed that protection. Be reminded that Ruth meets Boaz and they get married. They start a family. That family that continues and carries the line that leads to Obed, which leads to Jesus. With Jesus in your life, your story doesn't end either as some tragic story. It ends with God bringing you hope. I began this morning sharing the words to that song, and I didn't share with you all the words to the song. I shared with you probably the negative side of the song. I want to share with you some more words from the song because I think the rest of the words to the song help us to see what happens when God steps into our life and managed to bring hope to our life. "Was at the end of my rope, had nowhere to go. Was at the end of my rope, had nothing to show. Until the day that I turned to you was at the end of my rope. Nothing made any sense. I thought there would never be an end. Then love came knocking at my door. Since I met you, I've been all right. You turned my darkness into light. Since I met you, I've been okay. I've been all right. You're rolling my winter into May. And since I met you, I've been all right. I'm carried away. Never seen a sunshine like today. You've made something of my life." The book of Ruth, it is an awesome book. And we could have spent a lot of time this morning focusing on the excellent qualities that Ruth exhibited as a daughter-in-law as she stuck by her mother-in-law. But I don't think that's the most important thing that we need to walk away with. I think the most important thing is for us to see the redemption and the hope that came to this family. Because at times, we're all going to need a picture of that in our lives. We're all going to need that redemption and that hope brought into our lives. So again, look at how Ruth stuck by Naomi. Remember this, that God puts people in our lives who stick by us. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Another example. God spoke into Naomi's life as she experienced a depressing situation. We saw that in verse chapter 1, verse 20. We saw how Naomi was depressed. And chapter 1, verse 13 says, "It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." Well, that was Naomi's attitude before she saw how God was at work changing her life. Her heart was changed as she saw how God was about doing things for her. Then again, look at how a new opportunity came to both Ruth and Naomi through the marriage to Boaz. That marriage, again, was only possible by the one who had the first right to the land, as he refused it. And when he did, Boaz was allowed to buy the land, and their marriage happened. Again, it seems more than coincidence that this worked for the good of both Ruth and Naomi. It seems, again, like the hand of God was at work on their behalf. I'm hoping that that idea is the idea that you walk away with this morning, that you're encouraged to look and to see how God is working in your life on your behalf. God gives us a fresh start of life, a fresh start with relationships. God offers to take away doubt, to take away bitterness, and to replace it with hope. And this picture of how God acted in the life of Ruth and Naomi, it's a picture for us to see how God desires to bring peace and hope to our relationships, to our families as well. And we can have that in Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, we find the account of the angel's appearance to the ladies who find the tomb empty after the resurrection of Jesus. So the ladies go and they talk to some of the disciples who, with the exception of Peter, doubt and question their claims. Later, we find a couple of the followers of Jesus walking towards the town of Emmaus, discussing the events of the day. They're wondering if what's rumored to have happened really did happen. And then Jesus comes and he walks beside them, but he's hiding who he really is to them, as if they really needed to know. Jesus comes and he walks beside them, hiding who he really is to them. And the followers start to tell him the story of his sufferings and his death, and they get him up to speed on the empty tomb. And then Jesus reminds them of the prophet's message that Jesus would have to endure such things. And then Jesus continues with them as they stop for dinner at the house of a friend. And then in Luke 24, 30-39, we see Jesus unveil himself to them. Hear how Luke puts it. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking with him about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds?" And he said, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." I chose this passage to close out our time with because it contains a picture of Jesus not exactly seen, yet revealing himself to his followers. And I think we all need to see how God is revealing himself to us. As Jesus reveals himself to his followers, he shares with them that he wants them to have peace, to not be troubled, to leave their doubts behind because they know that he is alive. And for us, as we wrestle with the situations in life, find comfort and peace, restoration and rescue and hope in Jesus, in the fact that he is alive. Know that he can bring hope to your family amidst any circumstance. Through these women who are at the end of their rope, God comes to them, bringing to them what they never expected, bringing them new life, bringing them a new family, bringing them a line that leads to Jesus. Know also that when we're at the end of our rope, when all seems like all is lost, like all is gone, that the rope hasn't ended yet for God. God did an amazing work in this family's life, and he desires to do it in yours as well. Jesus said, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself." Be encouraged this morning. Go look for Jesus, because you're going to find him at work in your life doing amazing things.